and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, and we are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. The chairman of the board, David Reed, is here. Hello, David Reed.
Good afternoon, sir. Have you recovered from the disappointment of last night?
I'm very disappointed. Very disappointed about what happened to the Predators, but, you know, usually I say I give things away because I'm in a good mood. We'll give something away this hour to see if that helps put me in a better mood. Plus, we don't always give things away in the 2 o'clock hour, so I want to be fair, you know, with how we do our giveaways. So we'll give something away this hour. Reed, I got to tell a story.
Okay, I love
stories. Years and years ago, this was when I lived in an apartment complex. It's one of the best, if not the single best apartment complex in all of Nashville, Villa Adrian, right there off of 8th Avenue in Melrose. And I lived at Villa Adrian, and there was this one woman, and I just loved her. You know, that kind of love at first sight becomes kind of a crush. Now you've got a shot. Now, like, you know that feeling. And there was one night where I felt like this woman was digging me. I mean, just digging me. And I thought, here's my chance. Here's my opportunity. I'm so close. And I must have been 25, 26 at the time, something like that. And it got away from me. I don't know if it's my fault. I don't know if it would have never happened. I don't know. But it got away from me. I was so upset. I was so disappointed. And as I walked into the door at my apartment complex at the time, I said to myself, well, this is what it's like being a Titans and a Preds fan. Never get your hopes up too high for the Titans. Never get your hopes too high for the Predators, or else you'll be like me that night walking into my apartment complex the same way I felt when Pecorine crapped his pants in Game 7 of the Winnipeg Series, and I watched what would have been at least another 2 weeks because they would have made to the Western Conference Final. But I seriously believe if they had won that Game 7, they would have won that cup that year. But at least another 2 weeks of great radio excitement, a shot at the cup, and everything just all fall apart in, what, 2-3 minutes? I felt the same way when Ryan Tannehill opened up the playoff game against the Bengals by throwing an interception. People ask me, Jared, why are you so negative all the time? And it's not that I'm negative, it's that I'm skeptical. Because the first true heartbreak in my life was watching Ray Lewis run into the end zone in the 2000 divisional round game against the Titans. There was 5 minutes to go. The Titans were down by 2 scores. I looked at my dad as a fifth grader and said, are we going to lose? And my dad looked at me definitively and said, yes. I'm not sure if I've ever really gotten over that Ravens loss, although when the Titans went to Baltimore and pulled that favor on them a couple years ago, it certainly felt very good. So that's why I'm so negative. That's why I'm so skeptical, because I've lived it as a Titan fan, as a Predator fan. And last night was absolutely Black Monday for the Nashville Predators. The worst, unexpected, godforsaken season took the expected turn that I knew was coming. The 5th overall pick. It doesn't get worse than that. This is a draft that has 2 high-end, impactful, for sure, top-line guys in it. They needed one of the top 2 picks. Instead, they got the 5th pick. I remember how disappointed Danny Ainge was after they had a terrible season when he was general manager of the Boston Celtics. They got the worst possible result in the then Greg Oden, Kevin Durant draft lottery. Ultimately, they turned around and traded for Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, and it ended up working out for them. But I'll never forget that day hearing this was the worst possible outcome and seeing the dismay on everybody's face. And that's how I felt last night at 6:28 or whatever time it was. So the Predators have decided as an organization that last season was a one-off and that Andrew Burnett will return as the coach. The core of the team will return on the ice next season. The goalie, whose 8-year contract is about to kick in and has never won a playoff series, is firmly entrenched. And now the Predators won't get one of the top picks in the draft. Truthfully, as a fan of this team, which I am, I do not think I could be more devastated. Now, again, it wasn't the end of the world last night because I mentally prepared myself for this to happen. But to see the Islanders, who finished with 14 more points than the Predators, that's 7 victories, nab the number one pick. Or to see Utah, a division rival, who had 21 more points than the Predators did, slot in fourth ahead of them, was just disgusting. Now, this isn't anybody's fault. It's not like Barry Trotz could have done anything differently. It's not the league's fault. We all knew the lottery rules ahead of time. We can't cry about the draft being fixed because I saw some people yesterday on Twitter after the draft say, rigged, New York gets the top pick, rigged. I said, we saw the freaking ping pong balls. You can't say it was rigged. But that doesn't mean that you can't be disappointed. This past season was a complete and total train wreck from the very, very beginning. From the first game when the new 8-year contract, full no-move goalie couldn't suit up in game one against the Dallas Stars. We've been over the losing. We've been over the coach. We've been over the general manager. We held his ass to the fire about this every single week of the season. The uninspiring play, the defensive meltdowns, the horribleness of the goalie, the Scarbinis added throughout the course of the year. But as I sat through, as again, a proud Predators ticket holder, as I sat through that godforsaken season, I kept assuring myself it would be okay. It would be okay if the Predators could get one of the top three picks in the draft. Again, there are two high-end guys. Hagans is the third guy everybody keeps lumping in there. But it sounds like Misa and Schaefer are in a class by themselves. I wasn't even trying to get too greedy. Give me one of the three best players in this draft. They're picking fifth. That whole season was for naught. The horrendous waste of everybody's time. Again, I'm not going to sit here and cry about everybody's money if you're a ticket holder because, yeah, I mean, it's expensive to go to games, and I get it, and it definitely felt like a waste this season, but it's not as if they deceived us. And we are aware of what happens in sports. But just the time, the games watched, the finagling at the beginning of the year to log into a Fire Stick to sign up to be able to watch the freaking channel the Predators are on. Again, it was for nothing. And thinking long-term hope of the team, really, at this point, I don't have anything to say to you. I can't just cheer you up and say it'll be okay because I'm not convinced that it will be okay. This is as bad as it could possibly have gone for the Predators. Number one, they didn't get the first pick. Number two, they didn't get the second pick. They didn't win the second draw. Number three, teams with worse odds than them both got the top picks. And because Utah was so much better at 14th worst odds or whatever you want to call it, they slot in right ahead of you. So division rival Chicago, they only dropped down one spot. So you've got now two division rivals picking ahead of you. It couldn't have gone any worse for the Predators. And there may be some silver lining 5 years from now where James Hagans really was the best player and he falls to them. Roger McQueen is the best player in this class, but he got hurt and he gets healthy. And when he comes back, he turns into a superstar at 6'5". But we don't know that. Again, that's all wishful thinking. And if there is anything that I have learned over my 2 decades plus as a Titans fan and as a Predators fan, it is to assume that the good fortune and good luck will come your way is foolish. When's the last time the ball did bounce the Titans' way? When's the last time the Predators just got so lucky? I'll wait. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. No way to sugarcoat this. It could not have been any worse. The only thing you could do about it to make it any better is to go back to the season and with those 6-game losing streaks, make them 9-game losing streaks. That's the only thing it could have been. And then you'd be picking third and not picking fifth. But that's all you got. Truly abysmal. 615-737-1025. Now, I heard Barry Trotz say this. I heard Robbie Stanley say this. I saw Alex Doherty tweet this. Derek Mason was trying to, I don't want to say kind of fake it, that he was thinking this, but it felt that way in that last segment I did with the Midday Show. Jared, we're still picking fifth. It's not like we're picking 30th. We'll still get a good player. Sure. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
What does number 5 do for you? Where do you head from there?
Well, we're in the process of all the meetings right now upstairs. I sat in with our scouts today. I feel that even at the moving back a couple spots in number 5, we're going to get a good player. I don't have any doubt about that. What it might do, depending on once we get the order, we're probably going to put a couple of plans into place. I'll have to make some phone calls and follow through with some of our plans. So, I think, when we get through with all the process, we have the combine coming up, as well as some interviews with the players, especially what we think is probably the guys will be in probably the top 10 for sure. We'll do a lot of background checking, do all that. And once we get that in order, we'll try to figure out what everybody else is doing and have a few plans in place to go in the direction we need.
There you go. That was Barry Trotz last night. He didn't sound devastated. You know, I feel like I could be a team owner and actually be pretty good at it. I know you people are like, but Jared, you're so reactive. You're crazy. Yes, because I have a 4-hour show to do every day that is an opinion show that is sharing opinions. You know, if I'm the owner of the team, I'm not going to go walk down into the lunchroom and say, hey, Rashawn Evans, you suck. There is a difference between the two. And I think I could be an owner because in this instance, you don't have to meet with the media. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to talk to anybody. I can handle that. To be in Barry Trotz's position last night, where he's talking with the media and he's asked about the fall to number 5, and he's talking about, well, we'll still get a good player. You know, I sat in on the scouting meetings today, and I felt really good about some of the things we talked about, and so we'll go through the combine, we'll go through the process, and we'll still get a really good player. I don't know if I can put lipstick on that pick. Because while, yes, you're not picking 35th, you're picking 5th, the NHL is different than the NFL. And I need people to understand that because a lot of us, when it comes to kind of the nooks and the crannies of the NHL, probably don't investigate it as much as we would say the NFL. In the NFL, you absolutely have a better chance at drafting Andrew Luck if you have the number 1 overall pick. But there's no saying that the 5th overall pick in a draft or the 18th overall pick in a draft or Patrick Mahomes at 10. There's nothing to say that that player can't be the best player in that draft. And I'm not even going that Tom Brady route and saying, the whole league got it wrong. And that, because that is, You know, that's not just generationally screwed up. That's all time screwed up. The NBA is actually somewhat similar. Again, remember when Greg Oden went ahead of Kevin Durant? Remember when Sam Bowie went ahead of Michael Jordan? That doesn't really happen in the NHL. If you want the impactful, game-changing forward, which traditionally is what you have to have in today's game in order to win, you have to take that guy with the first or second pick. And it really is that simple. Now, some years, it's a bad year to get the first pick, i.e. Nico Hischier, who's not a bad player, but he's not Connor McDavid. Other years, it's Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I just, off the top of my head this morning, thought about this. The recent Stanley Cup champions. Let's go over, I don't know, the last decade. Last year, Florida won the Cup. Their star forward, Alexander Barkov, taken number two overall. That was a draft, by the way, where the Predators held the fourth pick and got Seth Jones. Seth Jones is on the Florida Panthers. He's a second-pair defenseman in the NHL. Top-line championship-winning forward, second-line defenseman. I would argue the second-best forward on the Florida Panthers is Sam Reinhart. Remember all the talk about how great it would be if the Predators could get him in free agency? Sam Reinhart, number two overall. Vegas won the Cup a couple of years ago. Jack Eichel, number two overall. Now, they didn't draft him. They traded for him. But he was having some sort of exploratory neck surgery and worked his way out of Buffalo. And that's not very likely to happen again where that kind of player gets out there and you can acquire him. And even if he did, the Predators would never do what it takes to get that kind of player. Colorado won the Cup in 2022. Nathan MacKinnon, number one overall. Before that, Tampa won back-to-back Cups. Steven Stamkos, number one overall. You have to go all the way back to the 2019 St. Louis Blues to find a team that wasn't led by a guy who was picked first or second overall and won the Cup. And that Blues team still had some high draft picks on it. They had Braden Schenn on that team, who was a high draft choice. They had Vladimir Tarasenko. Now, he wasn't a super high choice. I want to say he was 16, 17, 18 overall, something like that. That's the one team. And the 2019 St. Louis Blues are the one team that I would just say, don't ever reference them. You're probably not going to be the worst team in the league on January 1st and still win the Cup. You're probably not going to be led by your goalie and find a way to win the Cup. You're probably not going to have a forward on your team who wasn't first or second overall and still win the Cup. Because after that in 2019, 2018, Washington had Alexander Ovechkin, number one overall. 2016, 2017, we remember that, with the Pittsburgh Penguins, Sidney Crosby, number one overall. And the 2015 Chicago Blackhawks had Patrick Kane, who was drafted, wait for it, number one overall. This isn't the NFL. This isn't the NBA. The drop-off from 1 to 5 is almost massive on a consistent basis in this league. That's why I kept saying all year when it came to Predators game day, and we're trying to fill this sponsored segment, which we love, and we love our sponsors. But on Predators game day, I'm sitting there throughout the course of the year. All right, the Predators tonight are taking on the Flyers, and the Predators are 23 and 42, and that's good for 50 points, which is almost dead last. And I said it openly because, again, I don't own the team, so I can't say these things openly. Go other team. Lose. Because if you're going to be this bad, go be that bad. Don't dilly-dally in the middle. Don't get hot and try to convince yourself, oh, we can make the playoffs, Jared. Anything can happen because the 2019... No. Lose. And to their credit, they lost. Now, they didn't lose as much as Chicago. They didn't lose as much as San Jose. But to their credit, Once Christmas came around and it was obvious there was no corner for this team to turn, they lost. And so I went into this fully aware the ping pong balls have to fall your way. I went into this fully aware that, hey, if you still get to three, maybe you can still get a good player. Jonathan Toews, third overall. Maybe you can still get one of these players. But picking fifth, there's no way around it. You're porked. It's as simple as that. Unless, again, you're the 2019 Blues. The one exception to the rule. They were the worst team in the league at the start of the new year. They called up a rookie goaltender from the minors who didn't freaking lose a game. And apparently, and I felt bad for him the other night because I felt like he did his job. And the other goalie, Hellebuck, didn't. But has the biggest pair in the league when it comes to these big games and big moments. They had the right coach, the right attitude. They won the cup in game seven. But it's not that simple. It's really not that simple. It's hard. You got to pick one or two. And I know right now it's easy to look at it and say, well, San Jose has been picking one and two and they stink. Right. But in 6 years, they won't be picking one or two because Macklin Celebrini will be really good. Chicago won't be picking one or two in 6 or 7 years because Connor Bedard will be that good. With you, Roger McQueen, yay! Again, just look at the comparisons that they have on the TSN websites and the NHL website. And it's like you're going from a star, true impact, big boy forward to Quentin Byfield. You're not going to win the cup with that. 615-737-1025. We'll hit some phones. 615-737-1025. Plus, I got to play a cut that I heard last night on the draft show, and I'm not going to lie, it did make me chuckle. As upset and as disappointed as I was yesterday, you've got to hear it. We'll get to that next. And your phones, 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. And let me tell all the fine folks, tune in today to 102.5 The Game for Vandy Baseball as the Commodores take on Louisville in Louisville. And I got to say, I don't often root against Vandy. We are a proud partner with Vanderbilt. We are a proud flagship station. But I'm rooting for the Cards today, baby. Pre-game begins at 5:45. First pitch is at 6. Go Cards! Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com.
Chase, who is the best predator of all time? Who would you say?
There's a statue of him.
Pecorino.
Where did he go? He must have been.
He was third.
No,
yeah, he was in a round that doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, look, you can get good
guys. Settle down.
Shea Weber was the second round.
Settle down.
What round were you drafted?
I was in the eighth round.
It doesn't exist.
We don't have that anymore.
But you were pretty damn good.
When your best player for your organization doesn't have a round anymore, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
They're good players.
Of
course,
I would.
Everyone wants the best player you can get, but you don't know what these kids are going to end up like, and so we are what we are. You know, it is what it is.
Hal, don't be giving me that bull crap. I'm sitting there watching this draft lottery, and I'm watching the Predators just get porked by the ping pong balls. They didn't get porked by Gary Bettman. It's not rigged. We saw the ping pong balls. We saw them. Look, I've been to Vegas. I went to Lance Burton. I've seen magicians, but I don't think they pulled any phony crap over there. We saw the ping pong balls go into the machine. We saw the machine. This is not the numbers game from Harlem in the 20s. We saw the ping pong balls going up and down. We saw them come out. You didn't get porked by the league, but you got porked by the lottery. And here's how. And I got in the car last night after the draft lottery was over, and I was on my way, and I was listening to the show, and they did a fantastic job. And I mean this with all love and respect in my heart. And here's Hal saying, it'll be okay because Pecorine was an eighth round pick. And if Pecorine could be an eighth round pick, and I thought, oh God, Oh, God. You want to know what the biggest problem with the Predators is? In my opinion, big picture, why the Predators have never won? Because they haven't had the top picks in the draft. You can get very, very close doing it that way. With a hot goaltender, with the right coach, with just the right core group of guys all at their peak at the right time. Good luck and, you know, all of that. And you can get really, 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 really close. But they didn't win. They lost. You want to know why they lost? Reed, you were at those cup final games, were you not?
Yes, I was.
Do you know why they lost?
I've tried to erase a lot of that from my memory. But I still blame officials. I'm one of those guys. But, yeah, there was another guy on the ice that was pretty good. There was a pretty high draft pick.
They had Sidney Crosby. That's why you lost. And so, again, I've said this for years when it comes to the Predators, and I've said this for years specifically with Hal, but, again, that mentality they have of, hey, we're okay. Pekka was an eighth-round pick, and we built a statue for him, and zero cups. What did the great Eric Dickerson say? We want to win. We don't want to almost win. And again, unless you're the 2019 Blues, the exception to the rule, you got to be picking at the top of the draft, period. Not picking in the top-ish of the draft, picking at the top of the draft. MacKinnon, Stamkos, Barkov, Eichel, McDavid, Crosby, Ovechkin, Kane. You're picking fifth. Hal, I love you, but don't give me that bull crap. Don't give me the, oh, it'll be okay. Pekka win in the eighth round. No, it will not be. There is no way to slice it other than you got screwed last night. It sucks. And unless you want to suck again next year, which if Andrew Burnett's the coach and he's lost the room like I think he has, but that may happen. But unless you want to suck again next year, I just don't know how you're getting to the top. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Trey says, Jared, am I the only one who was completely devastated when they were drawing for the second pick and the last ball that they pulled out looked like a 13 in the tube only to come out as a 3? So I knew 3 wasn't what they needed, but I was like, is it 3 or 4 that they need? Because they needed 4 or 13. When they flashed those second pick odds up there and I saw the Predators and that they had a real shot and there were 2 ping pong balls, oh my God. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And they take the ping pong ball out and I saw 3 and I'm like, I think they need 4, not 3. But I wasn't totally sure. And then, of course, the one thing that I have got to knock the draft lottery on last night, I thought the presentation, for the most part, was good. The two things I didn't like. Number one, when they were doing the second pick, they spent too much time talking hockey. Get back to the ping pong balls. I don't need to hear Kevin Weeks and that guy who looks like he's selling Molsons. I do not need them to break down the picks yet. I just get back to the ping pong balls. And two, once that fourth ping pong ball would come up, like, I have no freaking clue what 1-4-3-9 means. I have no idea. You do. You've got it in front of you. Instead, they have Sebastian over there kind of writing down everything like he's Vanna White, and then he turns around and he hands the card to the deputy commissioner, and the deputy commissioner pretends he's Roger Goodell and takes it. The second pick in the draft belongs to... the San Jose Sharks. And it's like, TV, just tell me. Like, once that ball comes up, say, San Jose is going to be number 2 because Utah can't go up that high. Oh, goodness gracious. One texter says, are you discrediting James Higgins? Regardless, he will go 3. Some of the mock drafts are saying that Higgins may fall to 5. I think that's probably one of the best, and I have another theory, which I'll throw out there, best case scenario for the Predators, but if Higgins falls to 3, it's because he's either too small or too weak or not enough of a goal scorer, and we'll look back on it and say, yeah, he wasn't really that good. Again, I mean, I can pull up the list of 5th overall picks. It is sad. Again, I don't want to do the, you know, they are talking about, Hal, what round were you taking in? Yeah, I was taken in the eighth round. See? No, Hal, I love you. We need better players than you, Hal. Here you go. Let's go back to 2020 and go from there just because, you know, again, this Ivan Demidov that was taken number 5 overall last year, he might end up being good. I have no idea. But they're too young right now to get too excited. Project like 7 years out. Jake Sanderson to the Ottawa Senators went 5 in 2020. Now, I do know who that is because he played on Team USA in the Four Nations, and I was like, who the hell's that? Now, Reed, we have a rule on this show I don't think that I've introduced to you yet, which is if there's a player in the NHL that I've never heard of, then he stinks. That is a maxim that we have for this one rule. I feel like I know who the good players are.
I feel like that you had to have pretty in-depth knowledge of the NHL to proclaim that.
I really don't. I mean, I watch the Predators, and then I watch some of the playoffs. And when I watch in the playoffs, there's a lot of, oh, he's on that team now? Because I don't watch, like, TNT game of the week. I'm not watching that. I got other things to do. So I'm not a hockey savant. I'm not Robbie Stanley. I'm not going to try to be. But so if I have not heard of you, you stink. So what happens is the Predators will trade for somebody. Pred's Twitter will say, he's good. And then it ends up being Mikhail Granlund, who I've never heard of. And I'm like, nope, he's not that good. Now, when they acquired PK Subban, I knew who that was. He's good. So that's my new theory. Alex Turcotte with the Kings. Don't know who he is. Barrett Hayton was the number 5 pick in 2018. Never heard of him. Elias Pettersson with the Canucks in 2017. Now, Elias Pettersson is good. But the problem with Elias Pettersson is they get to the playoffs and he disappears. Because he must not be that good. Just like last year. You remember how much we talked about Pettersson in that series before the Vancouver series? And it was really JT Miller and Brock Besser and Elias Lindholm and your own pants crapping that cost you that series. Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson were almost no factors in that series. Olli Juolevi with the Canucks. Never heard of him. Noah Hanifin with the Hurricanes. Solid defenseman. But again, you're not winning because of Noah Hanifin. Michael Dal Colley. Never heard of him with the Islanders in 2014. Elias Lindholm, who I really do like, is one of my favorite players on other teams in the league. He was the 5th pick in 2013, but he's a second-line center. He's not Crosby. He's not McDavid. He's not one of those guys. He's a good player. But you don't need that. You need ace. You see the point? Again, other guys worth noting. Nino Niederreiter was a 5th overall pick. Luke Shen was a 5th overall pick. Phil Kessel was a 5th overall pick. Now, he ate too many hot dogs, and that was probably his big issue. But again, you're not winning the cup with these guys. Thomas Vanek scored a million goals, picked 5th overall. Scored a million goals in Buffalo. But he never won anything. That's the thing that bothers me. All right, more of your phones. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman & Company. Adam Vigan's blowing up my phone, so I know it's going to be one of these. What do you mean you've never heard of Olli Juolevi? He's so good, but I've never heard of him. And again, if I don't know who you are, you suck. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game.
Were you kind of planning all along to kind of like knowing that this was probably the most likely scenario is dropping to 4 or 5?
Well, I think when we understood how the lottery works, yeah, you're in that position where you're out against the field in terms of the odds that there is a likelihood that that could happen. I was hoping it didn't, but at the same time, I feel very comfortable. We're still going to get a good player to add to our pool, and you know, it'll all depend on what happens in front of us in terms of the teams. I'll try to get a better handle on that as we, I'm sure all the teams are now in their draft meetings, or if they're not in that process right now, they will be shortly. And, you know, there'll be a lot of work ahead of us from now to the draft. So, but I feel very confident we're going to get a good player.
We're going to get a good player. Yeah, just not good enough. That's the problem. Josh on the text line says, three segments bitching about something that no one has any control over. Correct. That's how devastating last night's lottery was. Tim is up next here on our program. Tim, thank you for calling and waiting. Go ahead.
Hey, Jared. Listen, we've got three first-round picks. Can't we bundle them together and move up?
Okay, that's a very good question. Now, Tim, I'm going to let you go on that because I think that's a good question, and it takes me to something that I do want to bring up. In the NHL, again, this is not football, where in football, the 10th overall pick has probably, I mean, we deep down inside know, like, in football, unless Elway or Andrew Luck or one of those guys is sitting there, the 9th overall pick has as good of a shot to hit as the 6th overall pick. That is traditionally not what happens in the NHL. That it is usually one or two. And if you get one or two, you don't trade it. Like, imagine if this were the Connor McDavid draft and you picked up the phone today and said, hey, what would it take for us to get up to number one? They would laugh you out of the building. Like last year, nobody was going to take that pick from San Jose. Barry Trotz in 23. There were four elite players in the draft in 23 here at Bridgestone Arena. Barry Trotz offered the equivalent of four first-round draft choices to try to move up into the top four to draft Will Smith, who might end up being a winger or their second-line center behind Celebrini in San Jose. And San Jose said no. This draft might be a little different. And San Jose, who's got Celebrini, has Will Smith. It seems like the Islanders are going to take the Schaefer kid, number one, who's a defenseman. San Jose is just desperate for blue line help in its prospect core. I do wonder if San Jose would be willing to swing a deal. Now, if I was Barry Trotz and I was calling San Jose, it would be painful. And I would know that when I pick up the phone. Like, I would pick up the phone knowing I'm calling San Jose and this to try to move from 5 to 2, and it's going to be painful. This is what I think a conservative package would look like. And I mean conservative. Number 5, Mullendike. Tampa Bay's 1, which is going to be better than Vegas's 1. David Edstrom, who San Jose gave you in the Yaroslav Askarov deal. And they may want your unprotected one next year. And again, I think that might be conservative. I don't think there are players on your team that they would want to move from 2 to 5. The only question is this. Would they do Mullendike and move to 5 where they could take the second best defenseman and say, okay, we got 2 defensemen plus another first plus Edstrom back in our system? Like, would that be enough? But you could do that. And maybe they would consider it. Scott Wheeler at The Athletic said, every year when I do Q&As and mailbags around this time, I get asked just as much about potential trades as I do the actual players. If you followed my work, and Scott Wheeler is the NHL prospect guy for The Athletic. If you followed my work, he writes, you'll know that almost always my answers are a letdown. It's hard to make trades on draft day, especially in the first round. Top picks almost never get moved. Trade ups and trade downs are almost always in small increments. But this year, he writes, does feel like it's more ripe for action for a couple of reasons. So maybe the Predators could make a move. But it's not just going to be like, okay, let's trade Tampa's 1 and Vegas's 1 and let's move from 5 to 2, which would make sense in the NFL. That is not going to be enough in the NHL. That's just not how it's going to work. Matthew says, Joe and Robbie brought this up this morning, that the Predators have 3 first-round picks, and they could try to package and move up, and who knows, maybe Barry could swindle somebody into taking Marchessault, Brady Shea, or Stamkos. I mean, Poyle got someone to trade for the million-dollar man Kyle Turris a few years ago. Number one, that's not true. They bought out Kyle Turris. They did not trade Kyle Turris. Again, when it comes to trading with San Jose, they're not interested in Brady Shea. Like, they're not interested in old players. Again, like, if I'm San Jose and I'm on the phone with you and I've got all the cards, I am gunning for next year's first unprotected. Which, could be nothing because you could be back in the playoffs. I mean, again, you listen to the Predators talk, and it sounds like they think they're going right on their way back into the playoffs like they were 2 years ago. And then that first-round pick, unprotected, isn't that big of a deal. But if you suck again, that first-round unprotected pick could be the number one pick in next year's draft. And next year's draft is a little bit better. One texter says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you in the direction of the Predators now and in the future? I feel like in the NHL drafts, I wouldn't look at the pick, but what's around it. They're surely a good to star player in the first round. It's just a matter of scouting. Nah. Again, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about a guy that you can win some games with? Or are we talking about a guy you win the cup with? Now, that being said, scale of 1 to 10, how confident am I in the direction of the Predators? 3. And I'm not even worried about next year. Like, hey, if next year's fun and they make the playoffs, they're not going to compete for the cup next year. But, I mean, to me, they're banking on their big picture philosophy. Is, and the prospect gurus say that these guys aren't that good. Wood, Mullendyke, Edstrom, Stiga Surin, Andrew Gibson, Reed Schaefer, like that group of prospects, they're convinced that when those guys are ready, that they're going to be very, very good. And I just don't believe it. I believe it's more like Svechkov and LaRue, whereas they probably look at these guys coming in here and being like Logan Stankoven and Wyatt Johnson. So, again, I give it a 3. 615-737-1025. All right, enough complaining about the draft lottery and the Predators. And coming up next, there is something that the Ravens general manager said. Ravens are pretty good, right? Like, if it comes to the Ravens, that's a team that we would look at and we would say, hey, they know what they're doing. So there is something the Ravens general manager said that I found fascinating. And did a dive on today in regards to the Titans. We'll get to that coming up next. Be caller 5. Let's give something away. Be caller 5 at 615-737-1025, and you will score a pair of tickets to Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening at the Ryman Auditorium on Thursday, May 15th. Again, that's 615-737-1025. Caller 5 wins right now. Good luck. Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game.